Welcome to episode zero of the Gamer Strangers podcast, a podcast that brings together two otherwise strangers based only on their mutual love of video games. We scour the online and IRL video game communities to find people that don't know each other personally, but do know that the other person loves video games. At least that's the idea that we will scour. This is, of course, as you will soon learn, the very first, I would say, episode zero of this podcast. I'll get into why a little bit later. This conversation, we hope, takes that single point of video game love commonality and stretches it into a wonderful, lifelong friendship. But that's where you, the listener, comes in. But more on the listener's role at the end. I'm Caleb, and your next obvious question, other than who the hell are you, is why is this episode zero? Well, this is a prototype episode, meaning its primary purpose is to see if this whole gamer strangers idea has any legs. So expect some audio snafus, uncomfortable conversational silences, and if we're lucky, a bit of empathy on your part, please, please. So today's episode zero guest, today's episode zero guest is someone who, though I don't know extremely well, I probably know better than is honest to the integrity of the strangers part of Gamer Strangers. But you know what? This is episode zero, okay? So I'm allowed to bend the rules. I recently participated in a recording of episode 50 of the Tilted Gamer podcast, a podcast that my guest, Nick, co-hosts. Welcome to the podcast, Nick from the Tilted Gamer podcast. Please introduce yourself and tell me, what is your very favorite video game of all time?
Hey, what's going on? Nick here, or NSA is watching us, host of the Tilted Gamer podcast, a weekly gaming podcast I always do with my co-host Paired Rabbit. But like Caleb said, yeah, we just got done recording our 50th episode, and though I don't think after a night of drinking and talking about games, we can consider ourselves complete strangers. And it's also a little weird since I've seen a bunch of his YouTube videos as well, so I feel like I already know him on a little bit of some level. Riding with him on his ways to work sometimes, listening to the daily vlogs. But, yeah, I think this still qualifies as stranger enough.
We'll see. We'll see. So tell me, I think a good place to start. Oh, go ahead. Yeah, I was going to say, the favorite video game of all time. I think that's a good way to sort of measure how well we will connect here.
I figured this was going to come up, and I gave it a good long think. And I got to say, it's a real solid tie between Final Fantasy Tactics and Super Smash Bros. For the N64, for completely different reasons.
I would imagine, because one seems very cooperative, friends, and one seems very sort of in your own head, and you've got a sort of, I don't know, I guess I've never played Tactics, so I don't know.
Quite the word for it. The intro scratch there was to beat my friends' faces in.
Okay, you're right. Cooperative is not, I guess, unless you're cooperating with one of the other players to go after the dominant player, possibly. I don't know.
Right.
So why is, I want to peel back that scab of Smash Brothers for a bit. I'm familiar enough with Smash Brothers. I played it a few times. I grew up more in the 2D traditional player versus player fighting simulation kind of games.
Yeah,
Street Fighter 2
sure.
Turbo, that sort of thing. So tell me, what is it about Smash Brothers that you love?
That was really the first fast-paced game that me and my friends were able to just go toe-to-toe with each other just all day, all night. I played that game maybe 30% of the days after school from, sixth grade all the way to my senior year. It's just something that me and my friends have been able to just always kick back and beat each other senseless back and forth.
I wonder if that is a generational thing, because I think I'm fairly confident I'm I don't want to say quite a bit older than you, but definitely older than you. I'm 34. You're probably, late, mid-20s?
Yeah, 26.
26, okay. So there, I wonder if it's a generational thing. I was in college, and I think Smash Brothers was on 64, I believe. So it was probably the first. Was there Smash Brothers on 64?
Yeah, the first one. Yeah, the original. The best one.
The best. Okay, well, then there we go. So then maybe there's a little bit of a connection there, because I think that's probably the only one I played. And in college, in the dorm room, it was
I
that
don't
was
know.
Played quite
did,
a bit.
Did you pass? So. Is that a year that you didn't fail? I can't imagine having to get through my freshman year of college or any year of college with Smash Bros. Being around like that. Especially when
it's
new.
It was kind of tough, I will say. It did take me 5 years to get through college, but I would like to pretend that that's by design, because yeah. I had so much fun in college that I was kind of finding loopholes to stretch it out a little bit further than it probably needed to be.
Sure.
I also switched majors.
Van Wilder.
Yeah, exactly. Well, less successful than Ryan Reynolds has ended up being, but, you know, but I think just as handsome, I'll say.
Of course.
Of course. You've seen me, of course.
Naturally.
I will say I was an art major in college for the first year, fine arts major, and then I quickly learned that that's ridiculous and switched to an English major, which I didn't realize at the time, but was kind of equally ridiculous, although I've learned now that I'm in a position where I'm hiring people and I'm having conversations about what their majors were and things, or what their degrees are and things like that.
It almost I've realized never that applies.
Doesn't apply. You're right. It doesn't really matter. All that really matters is you stuck to something for four or five years and
pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. But so I'm guessing then that the Smash Brothers, you know, it's a way for friends to get together now. I can understand that. I can respect that. I'm trying to think of, oh, GoldenEye was the big one. GoldenEye 007. That was probably the big, like, let's kick our friends' asses.
See,
as
it started off with GoldenEye,
possible.
And then it blew up for us really when Perfect Dark came out. That's when things really started getting competitive amongst our group of friends, where everyone actually had their controller pack for their save files to have their individual characters. They always took to the PvP to take each other out. Because, you know, like, they had the... You played Perfect Dark, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. Just making sure. The better... GoldenEye for N64.
That's probably true, yeah. That's probably true. Although very much so under lesser known, I guess, than GoldenEye, you know?
Yeah, significantly lesser known. But that was the first one that we really got into, you know, shooting each other in the face as opposed to, you know, beating each other senseless. That was, you know, probably the first seeds of, you know, us getting into Halo and Call of Duty Online. Playing each other in that modern day first person shooters online, you know.
Oh yeah, Halo. My roommate in college, this was probably sophomore year, I think. He had an Xbox, and this was when we lived in a house. We were no longer in the dorms, and he would play Halo. It was concerning. He would play Halo so long and so often that we seriously considered like calling a doctor because he never left his room. He was always in his room, and he worked an overnight job, so he would be working all night. He would be going to school during the day, and then playing Halo for the 8 hours he should have slept.
Dang.
It was a little bit concerning. Yeah, yeah. And I sucked at the game, and he and I had a bit of a rivalry anyway, so it didn't really work out.
Right.
You know, Perfect Dark was that. So you could level up locally, like without it being. You know, you could basically bring an OP'd character to a battle with your friends, right?
Well, you didn't get any benefits from leveling up. It was just it kept all of your stats, and you had a rank. So it was basically just like a different title. Like the number one rank was Perfect Agent, and like the lowest rank is like Peon or something like that. So it was always, you know, a competition of, you know, plugging in each other's characters, because you could customize your characters with all the different models within the game. So you could mix and match different heads and bodies. So we always had our specific looks that we had, you know, super quickly strafing around the map, killing each other with.
Oh, man. And that's large. And see, I'm trying to think when I fell out of video games for a while. I know. It's terrible. When I graduated college, I was still heavy into playing the PlayStation 2. I think the PlayStation 3 was out by then, but I just couldn't afford it. No one could.
Right.
It was like $700 when
yep.
it came out. And so I was still playing PlayStation 2, and then I fell out of video games, and I completely missed, like, say, the Wii and the Wii U era. Just completely missed everything on the Wii U. I think I played Wii once.
Right.
So it completely missed it. Came back, PlayStation 4, loving that and everything. And so I'm trying to think, the last real, like, you know, battle kind of game other than maybe a GoldenEye or a Smash Brothers. And so you said the Smash Brothers games, you said the first one, the 64 one was the best. And
now,
that's the one I
know that's not true. It's my favorite. The best one by like all standards and all qualifiers is Smash Bros. Melee for the GameCube. Not the newest one, but the one for the GameCube is the one that it's got the biggest competitive scene. And by like all measures is the most balanced, the, you know, quote unquote best Smash Bros.
I see.
But N64 still is, in my opinion, the best, most fun, the fairest. It's like a super fast-paced game of chess with friends. It's a battle of the minds, really.
Do you think if you would have played Melee in college, if that would have been the college game, you would have been looking back on Melee as more fondly?
For me to have gotten into Melee would have required a significant amount of dedication and time to get invested to actually get good at the game again.
Yeah.
once Melee came out and I didn't have a GameCube, so like 2 years went on where I before I even like really touched and actually played the game, and by then everyone could just demolish me. I was like, well, this is no fun. You guys have been playing this for 2 years. I can't catch up at this point. So it just never clicked, and then neither did any of the future Smash Bros. Okay, but it's always been a staple of our gaming diet to come back to Smash Bros. Like every time me and my friends hang out, every few weeks.
Does it ever lose its luster?
No, never.
No.
Every time is a new exciting experience.
That's awesome. So with the multiplayer, then we go to your other favorite game. You said it was an equal tie, which is a game that I've never actually played. I know.
Oh, my God, dude.
I was even going to say don't gasp, but I knew it was coming. I assume that's wholly a one-player game. Is that accurate or no?
Originally, yes. When the later editions with the War of the Lions came out for PSP and PS Vita, then they had some local multiplayer stuff you could connect with another device with. And then you could do these little like co-op missions and battle each other, but that, since it was on the PSP and the PS Vita, never really had much of a following. So the player base wasn't there to like have a good community for it. Yeah, it's pretty much a single-player game.
So why elaborate on that? Because I'm actually more of a personally I'm more of a strategy game, not like a sim or anything like that, like a life sim or anything like that, but more of a strategy game. I was big into like Final Fantasy VII, for example, and I know Tactics is way different than the main Final Fantasy games, but even
Tactics
RPGs and things like that.
Strategic one, so I think it'd be right up your alley.
Is that fairly? That's not a new game by any means, right?
No, I think War of the Lions came out. The most recent edition where they had, you know, a few new job classes compared to the vanilla game. And they added a bunch of, like, cutscenes and stuff, you know, really just fleshed out the game, prettied it up a little bit. But that came out in, what, like, 2009, I want to say? 2010?
Okay. Yeah. I was thinking that there was some Final Fantasy game other than 15 that was, like, more of a tactical game that came out fairly recently, and I could be way off.
World of Final Fantasy, if you want to
say. That's
what
I'm
thinking. Pokemon is super tactical in Gen 1, then, yeah, I guess it's tactical.
I tried to teach my son the Pokemon card game, which is a game I never played even growing up. That was kind of a generational thing. It missed me, but he got Pokemon cards for Christmas. He really wanted Pokemon cards, so we tried to learn the game together, the card game. And he was simply not having it. He just didn't care, which it's weird because I don't have any nostalgic connection to the Pokemon franchise, but I kind of still wanted him to really like it for some reason. Like, I was like,
sure,
come on, please like it, please. Nah, he didn't give a shit, but that's...
It's a gateway game.
Yeah.
That's how you get him into other video games.
Well, he loves watching me play video games. I have a pretty nice game room set up in my basement, and he loves watching me play games. And so that's, I don't think it'll be a problem, but I was just hoping he would. The problem is that I know he's interested in the Pokemon cards only because friends at school are interested in them.
Yeah.
And I want him to like him for a different reason. But you know what? I'm not a great parent, I guess. That's all it comes down to.
Well, the problem is he's trying to play the Pokemon card game.
Yeah.
He needs to be getting on that Magic the Gathering. If you want his reading comprehension to go up, his critical thinking, his problem-solving skills, that is the game for him. I grew up on that, and
I'm sure I'll introduce him to that sometime. I played it for a couple of years growing up, and I liked it a lot, but none of my other friends did. And it was and I was at that point in high school too where it you have to be really selective about who you let know that you play Magic the Gathering. It was a small high school, so you could easily get pariahed very quickly.
Times have changed. I'm sure since then to when I was in high school, and even to now, kids that are in high school, it's completely different, but we could get into that.
Well, nerd culture seems to be something that's embraced now, and it just wasn't, when I was growing up. But
now you have people pretending to play video games when they really don't, so that they'll appear cool.
I see. Interesting.
Right?
Interesting.
It's all different
that's,
now.
That's so weird to me. Well, I wouldn't necessarily lump the video games in with I said the video games. God, I'm like 90. I wouldn't lump those necessarily in with like Magic the Gathering and card games and anything because even when I was growing up, video games were
fine.
Yeah.
There's tiers of geekdom. There's like, you know, I play video games, I play Magic the Gathering, I play D&D, and then I go LARPing on the weekends. Like, it's tiered.
Yep. Yep. Oh, man, that's true. God, that's crazy. So sell me on Tactics. Sell me on it. Why is it the second possibly greatest game of all time?
The story is just fantastic all the way throughout. From beginning to end, the deeper you dig into it, there's so much there that has like this just amazingly huge, dense, immersive world and whole geopolitical structure they've got going on. I mean, just for that alone, I could read a book of Final Fantasy Tactics, and it would probably save me a lot of time, so I don't have to play through this game like once a year. But everything with that, plus the gameplay, is super addictive. It's just a ton of fun. It's not fast-paced. I don't know if it holds up with today's games. I don't know if you could throw this game at a kid who's played, you know, the latest Call of Duty, and they're mm-hmm. going to get latched onto it. But for some older folks like us with a little bit more gamer patience, it's one of the most rewarding, one of the most challenging Final Fantasies for sure.
Hmm.
So if you're a fan of the series, if you're a fan of a good read, just a good story, and, you know, like strategy, challenging encounters, how would I explain the gameplay? It's a...
Is it turn-based? Is it a...
Yeah, turn-based, almost like, you know, D&D, like tile-based, where mm-hmm. Everything's tiled out. You have, you know, your characters on, you know, that plot. They have their move space, which they can move each turn. And then you can move and act as all like your two separate halves of your full turn. So you're constantly trying to balance out what move's going to bring down my, not speed, but like your CT, like your clock timer. So you're mm-hmm. always battling the clock to get more moves in, hone in on certain enemies to take them down strategically, get through the encounter. It's one of those games that you can actually get stuck in the main story, which almost never happens in a Final Fantasy.
Hmm. Stuck as in unplayable? Like you hit a point where the game literally is kind of broken in a sense where you can't progress, or just stuck as in you don't know what to do?
Yes, unplayable. If you have mismanaged your saves, like a long RPG noob, if you've mismanaged your saves and haven't properly leveled up by certain points,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can absolutely break your game. It's like, you know, using the wrong key on the wrong door in the water temple. That's just the way she goes.
Oh, man, that's crazy. I don't... So... I my knowledge bank of old school RPGs is largely fed through YouTube videos and things like that. And one of the channels that I watch a lot is called Metal Jesus Rocks, and he does a lot of he's great. He's this big doofy kind of teddy bear. Like he's a dude who loves metal, but he's just very like cuddly almost. It's very crazy.
Yeah.
But he used to work for Sierra. He did stuff for Sierra, which made tons of RPG PC games back in the day.
Yeah.
And he said that there was a common thing with a lot of old Sierra games where you could literally put hours and hours and hours into a game, but if you didn't pick up an item at a certain point in the game, you would get past a point where you could go back and you literally could no longer play the game. You'd have to start
savage.
Over.
Yep.
That sucks. That maybe I
yeah,
could
that's
just...
not good game design.
Yeah. But that was also part of, in a weird way, that I think they justified it through that being part of the strategy. Like, you just have to know that that happened. I don't agree with it. I think you're right. It's bad game design. But I think at that point, game design wasn't such a fully articulated science quite yet. And so they could just justify it by saying, hey, but that's part of it, you know?
Right.
Screw
it was
you.
Totally a different market back then, too, where you picked up a game and you got, like, one game quarterly, like, if that back then. Mm-hmm. So it was, you know, the more brutal they could make the game where you're dying constantly trying to get through this thing, the more time you spend trying to get through their broken-ass janky game, the better for them, because then you come out of like, oh, wow, I spent so much time playing that game. What a great investment. And then you buy another sadistic game from them.
It's true. Thus is the problem with storage space. I mean, I know there's that old term Nintendo hard, which is, you know, those are games that you can only fit so much on an 8 megabyte cartridge.
Right.
And if you could beat a game in 10 minutes, you'd feel gypped. So they had to make a game purposefully hard for no reason. And I even back then, I hated a hard game. I'm a fan of an easy game. And it's interesting to me that I even like video games now because I grew up on just super hard games. But that's what I do.
Yeah. I guess I'm, I don't know. It's hard to pin down. Well, I guess I'm just wishy-washy on my moods. If it's, you know, been a long day, want to come home, just relax, put in something nice and easy. Yeah, a perfect little, you know, Fallout type game that I can just smash through and destroy everyone. Yeah, mm-hmm. that's perfect. But there's some times where you just got to sit down and get shit done. So I throw Bloodborne back in and try and see how fast I can smash these bosses.
God, I'll probably never put Bloodborne back in, and that pains me. That pains me because I enjoyed myself with it, and then
did
one
you play
day
the DLC?
No, I didn't even. I didn't beat the base game. I know. I have a friend who that's his favorite game of all time, and he spent hundreds and hundreds of hours, and he goes through the Chalice dungeons and just loves that. That's his big thing. And we played some co-op where it was the first not the first kind of co-op experience or whatever, but the first one like that. I don't know if you ever played the two-player mode on Bloodborne where you kind of infiltrate the other person's world, and that was interesting to me, and I really liked it, and I had a lot of fun with it. The problem was, I think it got to a point where I was tired of being stressed out the entire game. Like, I wanted to just relax, and you can't relax in that game at all.
You really
and I finally
cannot.
Just gave up, I don't know if I'll go back to it or not. I don't. So is Tactics a hard game then? I should ask that question.
It doesn't have to be. If you take it nice, slow, and grindy, like you typically would a Final Fantasy, just around, chapter 2 or 3, as per usual, just stop and grind out. Get, 20 plus extra levels, which you can do because all of the non-story mode encounters scale to your level. So, and at a certain point, there's a diminishing return of value from that because you level up so high, and so do the monsters with you outside of the story, where you don't have access to the new high-level gear and high-level weapons. So you really start getting creamed. So then you're sort of motivated to go back to the story and finish it out through until things balance out again. But you can basically power level your way through the entire game. But most people don't usually do that.
I like a game that you can grind up. That's you mentioned Fallout earlier, and that's kind of what I do with every Fallout game, is I spend the first third of the game just beating the crap out of tiny monsters and tiny raiders and things like that.
Right,
and just,
yeah. Just doing a little side quest.
Biggest guns and going crazy and guns blazing. It's I don't know, there's something fun and I guess, I don't know, sort of stress relieving to just be overpowered and dominate everything.
Completely.
I'm playing BioShock, the first BioShock game, which I've tried in the past and immediately gave up on because I had a laggy computer, underpowered computer that didn't work for it. So now I'm playing the collection, the PlayStation 4 collection version, and I just switched it. I've been playing normal for about half the game. I just switched it to easy. And now I'm having the time of my life on it. It's just so much fun, and that to me is that's the best game, is when it's just fun and I don't give a shit about dying,
Yeah, but it just completely depends on the game. Like sometimes you're trying to get through it because you want to see what happens next in the story, but you get stuck through trying to get through this bullshit challenging part here that you hate doing. So by the time you even get to the story part you wanted, you're so pissed off from finally getting through that last part, you don't even care about the story at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I ran into a lot of problems with that in Final Fantasy 15 over the last few weeks.
Are you still on that game?
No, I just platinumed it yesterday, and it could not have been a more hollow platinum.
Really?
Yeah, the last trophy I needed was to just get Gladio. Backstory, you have to get Gladio up to level 10, and to get him up to level 10 for his survival skill, you have to just walk. Just walk. It just tallies up your distance traveled. I'm 105 plus hours into the game. You're telling me I haven't walked enough yet to get this damn trophy? So I just spent my last 2 hours playing that game, just walking in circles, running rather.
That's crazy.
Trying to get that. And eventually, I got it. I have
platinum. Did you just lean a book on your analog stick and just kind of walk away?
I was just so close to being there. I was just watching it. When I sat down, I would have done that if I would have known it was going to take 2 hours of running. Because it just kept tallying up a little bit, like, oh man, I'm so close, I'm just right there. And I'd spend a full in-game day trying to run around, and it just goes up, boop, tiny bit.
Well, it's a unique kind of game where you can actually devote that many hours to it, and still, or maybe I'm making assumptions about the type of gamer you are, because are you the type of gamer that once you start a game, you kind of have to max it out, you have to platinum it, or are you one that are you fine with giving up on a game halfway through if it just doesn't do it for you anymore?
I'm fine with giving up on a game as long as it's not a Final Fantasy. With the exception being Final Fantasy 13 2.
Okay.
Play that for all of 2 hours, nope, I'm good.
Is that kind of the universal consensus on Final Fantasy 13 2?
Universal, no. Majority, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but it sounds like, though, that 15 has kind of come back, though. I mean, I generally seem to think that more people are happy with 15 than unhappy with
it's a good start. It's a real good start. I kind of wish they would have pushed it back another 3 months. It's just missing so much and takes away from, you know, its full potential of what it could have been. You haven't played it yet, right?
No, I haven't. Right, and, okay. I honestly probably won't, just because it's way too long of a game. So don't feel bad about spoiling stuff.
I mean, I would tell you to wait anyway, because they're still adding more stuff into the story, like more cutscenes, more additional content to fully flesh it out. I mean, it's like the Bible. There's like full on gaps missing from your protagonist's story here.
Isn't that fairly common with Final Fantasy games? Nope. I mean, are they always?
They're
all, it's not? Okay.
Yeah, it's all for the most. I think Tactics might be the only one that you get, like, you know, chunks of time between different chapters. Really, everything else is just, you know, one right through the next. At the most, you'll get like 2 weeks later.
Oh, gotcha.
Not 10 damn years later. I'm still salty, apparently.
Why don't they have playable montages in video games? Is that a thing? Where you could just actually play through the montage that you would see in a normal, like, movie, like a Rocky fighting montage, but you can actually play through it?
Just like a quick series of, like, quick time events?
Or like, yeah. like a WarioWare bunch of mini games that you kind of just string together and, like...
Yeah, that'd be awesome. You just have 10 minutes of that, and then boom, now you got super OP.
I'd like it. I'd play that. That'd be great. Oh, man. All right, so we're at about 26 minutes or so. I anticipate that this will go for maybe, I don't know, maybe like five or so more minutes. I don't want it to be a too terribly long episode.
That's it?
I know. All right, if it goes longer, it can. I don't want that my statement to the podcast brevity to be any indication of how well I think this burgeoning friendship is going. So
yeah,
please don't. No, I just, you know, I tend to listen to shorter ones, so that's kind of what my preference for them. Yeah. So
I also do a lot of Joe Rogan podcasts, so I'm used to like the 3-hour journey.
Oh yeah, and that, well, you know, when that's his full time job, he can do that, right?
Right. Yeah.
So as for like, so let me give you a little window, I guess, to where I am. So my favorite game of all time has to be Super Metroid. Have you ever played Super Metroid?
Oh, damn. No, I haven't.
No. Have you ever played any of the Metroid games? Even the 3D ones?
I haven't.
That's... now it's my turn to...
I know. Everyone's got their gaming gaps.
Well, I'd say if I was going to really inhale sigh for any series, it would be Fallout. Like, that's the kind of game where I think everyone should play it, and if they haven't, then I think they're terrible.
That's like, who hasn't played Skyrim? I mean, really.
I haven't, actually.
But you've played other Elder Scrolls, right?
Nope, I haven't.
What?
I know.
Okay, that's a bad analogy, I guess.
Well, it's still a Bethesda game, so maybe
I mean, it's still basically the same type of game.
That's true.
Close enough, yeah.
Fallout is just Skyrim in the post-apocalyptic future,
yeah,
right?
Just with a different skin.
Yeah. But Super Metroid and the other Metroid games, like, I've only played Metroid Prime on the GameCube, Super Metroid, and then the original Metroid. I haven't played any of the other iterations, even the Game Boy ones I haven't played. So I can't necessarily say that you're crazy for not having played all the Metroid games, but I will say that usually when I talk with people about Super Metroid, they say they didn't play it because they played maybe the original NES version or something and they didn't like it. It was hard. It was dumb.
Oh, so there was Metroid for just the NES?
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
Super Metroid for SNES.
Exactly. Okay. Yep. And the original, you may hear the term, some people describe some platformers as Metroidvania-like. Like, oh, that's
right.
Kind of a Metroidvania game. And that's because of the original Metroid game. It takes after the original Metroid game in the sense that it's a platformer, a side-scrolling platformer, but there's a lot of different paths and a lot of different ways about moving, which is commonplace in today's games, but back then it was a pretty big deal. Only are there multiple paths to go and multiple ways to approach things, you also, once you power up with certain items, you revisit those old places and now you can get to new areas in those old places. And that also was just a very crazy concept. So when they say Metroidvania, that's kind of what they're meaning, is the ability to go back and play previous areas with new power-ups and find new things based on those new power-ups and things like that.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's pretty much like my only knowledge of Metroid, aside from, you know, knowing Samus from the Smash Bros. Series.
Yeah.
And then just hearing that term, you know, Metroid-style games, I'm like, oh, okay, mm-hmm. I totally know what that means now. So
yep.
I was just sort of had an idea of what a Metroid game was.
Well, there you go. And the Vania part comes from Castlevania. So they say Metroidvania, it's sort of a cross between Metroid and Castlevania, and they share a lot of things. I don't know where the why they lump Castlevania in there all the time. I think Castlevania was also an NES side-scrolling game.
Yeah, yeah.
Very similar to Metroid, but actually, yeah, it's probably just, they could have just said Metroid game. I think because Metroidvania sounds cool, so they just say that.
Yeah. You throw Vania on anything, it sounds pretty dope.
That's very true, very true. So the name of this new podcast, the Game of Strangers Vania.
Yeah.
So Super Metroid was again, just a side-scrolling 2D platformer, but I say just loosely because it was a game that I go back and play it every year, and I've played plenty of contemporary games, obviously. I have PlayStation 4. I play it all the time. And every time I go back to Super Metroid, I'm sort of reawakened by how amazing that game really is. And this isn't nostalgia speaking because I didn't play it as a kid. I played it, I think, in high school maybe, but I didn't love it until college. And so it's not really a nostalgia thing. It truly is. I go back and I just see how perfectly put together this game is and how amazing this game is. And it also scratches that itch for me about a game that's not too difficult, because you can beat Super Metroid in, you know, an hour and a half if you know where to go. You can beat it in 4 hours if you don't know where to go. So it's a very simple kind of game, but so well designed, and the atmosphere is insane for 16-bit and even insane for nowadays. So I don't know, if you have time to emulate it, I recommend you and the three people listening to do that as well.
That's how I'm gonna if I'm gonna play that, emulation's gonna be the way to go.
Yeah,
I've got an SNES floating around somewhere, but I'd have to talk to too many people to get my hands back on that. So yeah, emulation all the way.
Oh yeah, I've been looking into some of those old retro emulation, like the Retron 5s and things like that, which let you play old carts, but then also let you emulate things into. And I just haven't bit the bullet. So
yeah. I feel like I've seen a few of those floating around at like Walgreens and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty much it. So yeah, so. What else? I feel like I'm sold, I would say, on Final Fantasy Tactics. It sounds like a fun game, if not a time suck, but at least a fun game. Strategic. I like
that aspect.
The
game is certainly fun itself. The story is not fun. The story is the realest Final Fantasy they've had.
Okay.
So it's like the least real fantasy.
Okay, damn. So like really kind of heartfelt, real, like it kind of gets you in the feels, as they say, or.
Oh yeah. Your feels are going to get got by the end of this thing. And when I say the end of this, I mean, even you got to watch the scene even after the credits.
That's probably
the most heart wrenching.
Okay.
You wouldn't even see it coming.
Are you familiar with the origin of the name Final Fantasy by chance?
Yeah. 'Cause it was going to be, the original creators, I should know this guy's name. It was going to be his like last chance to like make a game. Like, this is his last thing, his last Final Fantasy project. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, the name stuck around as My Final Fantasy.
Yep. Very good. Very good.
See, I know a little bit here.
You know, not a little bit.
I'm not that young.
26 is pretty young.
Yeah.
You're right, it's not super young, but I think 26 was about the year. Actually, I would say 27. 27 or 28 was probably the year that I started just getting really fat and just hating myself. So, you know,
it's about
the time
to start playing video games.
Yeah, exactly. And getting back into it. So,
What are you playing right now?
Ah, that's a good question. What am I playing right now? BioShock, actually. I already mentioned
that.
So
BioShock.
I just realized.
So that's
BioShock and a game called Stealth Inc., which is just like a puzzle game kind of thing. I'm playing with that with my kids. It's kind of fun. And then you just wrapped up Final Fantasy 15. What's next in your hopper?
That's a good question, man. I'm sort of back in a game hole. 15 was supposed to be my big game that stuck around for a while, but apparently 100 hours goes by quick. So I'm not really too sure. I think I'm just going to spend the next like month or so sort of going back through and actually finishing out all the games I've started over the last year. Go and do some trophy hunting, chase some platinums. Because
nice.
I care about numbers and rankings next to my name.
God, I'm so glad I don't. Because that's something I would totally obsess over.
It's a time sink.
Well, best of luck to you. And I genuinely mean that. So this has been the prototype episode of Gamer Strangers. And please let us know what you think. Leave a comment on whatever blog post or wherever you found this podcast. Or send me a comment via Twitter. I'm at Caleb J. Ross, C-A-L-E-B-J, the letter J-R-O-S-S. Also, you can go to CalebJRoss.com, and there'll be a blog post with this. You'll find something about Gamer Strangers podcast there. And you can leave a comment there. So do just whatever you can to tell us if this Gamer Strangers episode has potential for a full series, see if you like it. Perhaps most importantly, in those comments, tell us, do you think Caleb and Nick should be friends? And if not, that's fine. No, I don't mind. If so, that'd be great.
We don't need your comments to know that's a resounding yes.
Oh, look at that. Caleb's blushing over here. Thank you for listening.